When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Stad. I write for Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. And we're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe. You never miss an episode, and we can spread the word to the masses. 1,100. Subscribers strong going into this season, and we got, because we have guests like today, who is the executive producer for Score North. When he is not helping Sports Dad troubleshoot his equipment or covering the Minnesota Twins as a beat podcaster, he is dropping his hot takes on Purple Daily. He is Declan Goff. Welcome back to the show, Declan.
Chris, thanks for having me, man. I got to figure out how to also, with everyone else on understanding and not being an inside joke, putting in my LinkedIn and my resume, like, helped Sports Dad, helped people figure out microphones. It's a daily task. It's a daily job. It's part of the job. But yes, I got to work that in on top of the hot takes and on top of all the other duties I think I have.
Well, I notice, I think you're wearing a DX shirt.
I am.
Correct? Yes.
I didn't wear this. I know you're a wrestling nut too. I just put it together that I'm like, oh, Chris will love this. I got my oil changed in the car just like an hour ago. And I had like three different technicians come up and like, dude, I love the shirt. And it's like, okay, wrestling is still a big thing. It's always been a big thing to me and you, obviously, but it's good to know people in the general public obviously can recognize a D-Generation X shirt.
As The Rock says, pro wrestling is cool again.
Yes, it
everybody,
is. Yeah.
Everybody loves it. And I love the fact you're wearing the shirt, because I hope you got some controversial takes to drop, including the Vikings waving Jaren Hall this morning. That was the big news. They will sign, I was going to call him journeyman quarterback Brett Rypien to sign him, but he hasn't really been in the NFL long enough to call him a journeyman. So let's start off with this. Will the Vikings rue the day that they wished Jaren Hall his future endeavors?
I think they're kind of hedging like their quarterback bets, basically, is what they're doing here. So Jaren Hall like looked pretty good in preseason. I know he started, you know, like three quarters of football essentially last year over two games for the Vikings, and is probably more of a project quarterback. And with Rypien, it feels like he's obviously much more of a safer bet in the event. Now, if the Vikings have to start, you know, three or four different quarterbacks again in 2024, like they did in 23, that's going to be a problem, but I probably trust Brett Rypien to step into a game more than I trust Jaren Hall. And I think that's probably what the Vikings are thinking here. It's not like baseball where you'd like to stash a lot of prospects with high upside. And like, if it was a baseball side of things, I'd rather would have kept Jaren Hall than bring in some veteran guy that's just trying to patchwork things. But in football, it doesn't really work like that with no minor league system. So I feel like Brett Rypien is kind of more of a safer bet in the event they have to turn to him. Obviously, the number one option is never seeing Brett Rypien on the field, but I would feel better about Brett Rypien probably stepping into a game right now more than I would with Jaren Hall.
Didn't they used to have like the NFL Europe back in the day where it was like the Frankfurt Galaxy and like Todd Bauman played in there or something? Like that's what they need for Jaren Hall, because I understand what they're doing here. They're releasing him. They're, like you said, they're hedging their bet that nobody's going to claim him. They can keep him on the practice squad and they can have more time with him. And Kwesi Odofo-Mensah picked a hell of a day to go talk to the media because it was like the first question he answered. And he mentioned that you're one snap away from being one snap away from needing that quarterback. And I think last year kind of, I hate using the term spooked, but there was some PTSD there because Kirk Cousins went down and they kind of went, oh shit, like we don't have a backup quarterback. So now they kind of want to have these lines of defense preventing them from going, okay, we got to throw Jaren Hall in before they're ready. Or even like you go back to last April's NFL draft. They took JJ McCarthy, but the month before they signed Sam Darnold to make sure he wasn't going to see the field when they are ready. I've also heard some rumblings from the Audible, which is run by Cecil Lammy and Sigmund Bloom, that Brett Rypien has kind of a bright mind and could be a coach someday. And I feel like Kevin O'Connell's coaching tree with that Sean McVay thing, it's got a little country club flair to it where quarterbacks have these bright minds. They get kind of primed to be a coach. And I feel like they want a guy like that on the staff at all times just to kind of, you know, get another, what's the word I'm looking for? Get another guy to talk in Sam Darnold's ear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, KOC was a third round pick himself as a player, and his brain probably even kept him around in the league longer than he should have with his play on the field. And obviously that's now translated from a coordinator position into a head coaching job. And I think he probably sees a lot of himself in Brett Rypien, probably wants to reward that too. And you know, with Kirk, he never wanted a project quarterback, and that's why I signed with the Falcons. And then the Falcons, you know, throw him the double bird and draft Michael Penix. So that was kind of the bet that the Vikings made last year. And then they had to do an emergency trade basically for Josh Dobbs, which I guess worked. I mean, he won them a couple games and came off the street and had a couple fun moments. But if the Vikings are going to have Sam Darnold, who, you know, it has yet to show he can be a sustainable starting quarterback, they're going to want as many options, I think, in the room as possible, especially with JJ McCarthy being injured and out for the season. So yeah, I think KOC probably sees a lot of himself in Brett Rypien. He's been around some systems. I mean, he's had a pretty decent career, I would say, for a guy that basically went undrafted. So I can see why the Vikings basically said, let's put Jaren Hall on the practice squad and let's have Brett Rypien in the room more.
And I think the other thing that some people need to remember too is Jaren Hall is 26 years old. This is not like this super high upside prospect. I was watching your scoops actually with Darren Wolfson this morning, and he mentioned that the Vikings might have an eye on Dorian Thompson Robinson if the Cleveland Browns decide to trade him. I think they're looking for guys with a little bit more upside in that room. I know they think they have their franchise quarterback in JJ McCarthy, but I also don't think that Jaren Hall is kind of this, you know, we're not going to see Jaren Hall turn into David Ortiz basically.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a diamond in the rough there. I mean, the best examples, right, are like Case Keenum, who actually just got injured again and will be out, I believe, for the season or is out a significant amount of time. But, you know, Case was an undrafted guy that was a prolific college player that, you know, definitely played with the horseshoe around his neck. And we saw it in 2017. And he turns up to have a really nice, decent career, all things considered. And I feel like Rypien's the same kind of dude. He was after Kellen Moore when Moore was at Boise State. So that was some time afterwards. But, you know, Boise State tends to draft really smart guys. I think Rypien was a Washington product, too. That was a big 4-star, 5-star recruit. So the fact that they've kind of drafted a guy that's smart and that KOC can probably lean on is their plan there. And then with Dorian Thompson, I mean, at that point, like you have Brett Rypien. So I think you probably abandon that plan. But that's clearly what they're trying to lower the floor, I think, of their quarterback problems in the event Sam Darnold has to be benched or is injured. But they're going to ride with Sam Darnold for better or worse. And that's going to be their obviously objective to try to have a successful season with Darnold at the helm.
Well, with Hall out of the mix, the Vikings do have their 53-man roster set for this year. The cut down day was Tuesday, We know Hall won't be on it, but what was your biggest takeaway from how the Vikings set up their roster for 2024?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they put the two running backs in Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler on there was interesting. And then they kind of held the open spot with CJ Ham being RB3, and you figure that they were going to maybe add someone. And I know they talked up Myles Gaskin today at the press conference, and sounds like he's even going to be their kick returner, and they view him as a three down back. But I think they were probably looking for someone that was going to fall through the waiver wire or fall where they could probably scoop him up and be a better insurance policy. And then once they realized that wasn't an option, or maybe they were outbid or outclaimed, that they just went back to Myles Gaskin. I mean, the biggest area of weakness for Kevin O'Connell in his tenure as a Vikings head coach, and maybe even as a coordinator with the Rams, is he's yet to really establish a significant run game. So now, does Aaron Jones fix that? I like to think he does. I really like Aaron Jones. And I think he can obviously bring something that maybe KOC hasn't had as the head coach of the Vikings, or with as a running back. And Aaron Jones is very deep and can catch passes and can still run, and basically made that entire Packers offense go. So the running back room was a big one for me. And then I love that Dwight McLaughlin got a spot here, a big cornerback who was a UDFA, and the Vikings have obviously had some success with those before, but that was their weakest position group. They had to last minute in training camp go sign two veterans off the street in Stephon Gilmore and Shaq Griffin. And I think teams are still going to try like hell to attack them with quarterbacks. And if the pass rush for the Vikings doesn't get home, it could be a long year for Brian Flores' defense. But I like the fact that Dwight McLaughlin's part of that mix. I don't think he just grabbed a last spot because it was open. I think he grabbed a spot because Flores sees something in there where if one of those cornerbacks goes down or just ineffective play, which will be inevitable at that position, comes up, is McLaughlin part of that? I mean, he was getting run with the first team in training camp, so that's a pretty decent sign for UDFA to make that impression early. And I think those are probably the two things that would really stand out to me with the 53.
I always like to point out this story since we're talking about Aaron Jones. Also a big WWE fan. I saw him at the Royal Rumble, and actually my friend saw him, and he was a Packers fan at the time, and he was on the Packers. So he went over and chatted up with him and said he was a cool dude. And then a couple months later, he's on the Vikings. So I'm like, I need that time machine to go back in time. Be like, you'll be on the good side soon, and then jump right back in. I think my biggest takeaway from how the Vikings set up their roster is they're not going to waste anybody's time when it comes to developments or any of that thing. If they see it in you, they're going to do it. If they don't, they're going to move on. And you saw that with Lewis Cine and Andrew Booth. Kwesi basically said today, you know, it's not going to work here for whatever reason. And I kind of thought that, especially when Cine had that breakout game against the Browns. Booth, he got traded very early in training camp, and the Vikings decided to get rid of those guys because they had a lot of young players that they wanted to keep around and saw some upside in. Walter Rouse on the offensive line, a guard slash tackle who's kind of been in that utility role. Michael Juergens, who is a center out of Wake Forest, had one of the best, I believe it was run blocking grades in all of the FBS last season out of Wake Forest. And then on the defensive line, you have Jalen Redmond and Taki Taimani on the defensive line. Get some young blood in there. And you also have Dwight McLaughlin at cornerback, who you also talked to. So, I mean, getting all of these young players, I like the fact that they're trying to assemble guys that can ascend rather than, you know, we see it sometimes. A team will take a guy with a first round pick and they'll spend 4 years trying to make it work. Now teams are more apt to be like, hey, this isn't working here. Let's give you an opportunity somewhere else. And let's make our team better by keeping guys that can make our team better.
And with the 2022 draft class being what it was, I mean, Lewis Cine now being punted off, Andrew Booth being, you know, claimed away as well. You know, they need some of these draft picks to start sticking. And look, Ed Ingram's, I think, a serviceable guard. Ty Chandler might be a player here, and maybe he ends up getting more of the snaps if Aaron Jones is cooked or gets injured. But they need some of these other draft picks to start stepping up. And it's hard to really judge draft class till after a couple years. We just clearly saw that with the 2022 class. But last year's class and this year's class, now Kwesi and his staff are basically making, you know, their own stamp on this roster. And there's still some hangovers as in, you know, holdovers, I really should say, and Harrison Smith and Josh Metellus, et cetera. I mean, there's still some really important guys on that defense that were inherited from the Rick Spielman era towards the end of that. But Harrison Smith being up there in age, you know, he's going to be moved on. He's going to be moving on and probably retiring after this year. So they need some of those picks to start clicking. And look, they can have a bad draft like they did in 22. It's not a death sentence, but his stock will definitely go up if some of these recent draft picks start playing right away, or if last year's class makes more of a significant impact than it did before. Those are the things I think that keep Kwesi around long term. I don't think he's necessarily entering the last year of his job. I know he has one more year on his contract after this season, but if those players start to perform and the Vikings feel pretty good about where they're at going into 2025, which clearly this team is tracking towards being more of a competitive team and more of a legit contender in 2025, and this year is kind of a placeholder for it, then Kwesi, I think, is here for the long haul.
You know, something that he said today that I really liked was he talked with Kevin O'Connell about the Colts game where they fell behind 33-0. And he was just kind of like, what was that like and whatever? And I think O'Connell answered, and I don't think he quoted him, but he was just saying that basically it was just stacking good things together, just drive after drive, getting touchdowns, getting your way back into the game. And eventually you come back and you beat the Colts, and it's the biggest comeback in NFL history. With this team, he admitted that when he first came on in 2022, he was trying to get a 33-point play, which is, you know, get to that Super Bowl. He was trying to get the one move. He was trying to get, you know, he's trying to find Patrick Mahomes, basically, the one player that tied it all together, and it didn't work. So now Kwesi kind of looks at the last two seasons, and it's not like they didn't have success in 2022. I mean, you win 13 games in this league, no matter what, that's a good season. But last season too, where things kind of went wrong, it's like, okay, we understand now that this is kind of a house of cards. This is what kind of outdone Mike Zimmer. So what we're going to do now is we're going to start building. We're going to start getting new things. And they'll never use the word rebuild at TCO Performance Center, because that's a good way to get your pink slip on the spot from the Wilt family. But I think that they're looking at this by keeping some of the young guys, by hopefully having a guy or two step up throughout the year, that by the time you hit next season and we're sitting here next year, we're going, hey, this team looks like they could make the Super Bowl or make the NFC Championship or something like that. You know, do you think that if the Vikings have a good season, that they can be Super Bowl contenders in 2025? Or are they 1 year away from being 1 year away, kind of to quote Kwesi a little bit?
Yeah, it's hard to just assume that even next year, they're automatically Super Bowl contenders like 1 year from now. I think that's still a little far-fetched. Now, there are teams that do randomly kind of pop up that make the playoffs that didn't make the playoffs previously. I think it's about a 50 to 60% turnover rate from the playoff fields from year to year. So there's always teams that probably surprise you. I mean, I don't think anyone saw Jalen Hurts and the Eagles marching all the way to the Super Bowl. You know, Joe Burrow had a lot of hype around him, but he was coming off an ACL, and what type of quarterback is he going to be? And then all of a sudden they're in the Super Bowl. So is it possible? For sure it's possible. But I think they would be probably a dark horse playoff team going into next year, assuming that JJ's rehab is fine and he's progressing just like he was in training camp this year. But until, you know, they actually step on the
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Field in 2025, play their first, you know, 4 to 6 games. Then maybe you can start talking about Super Bowl contention or are they legit? But I think they'll be an exciting team next year and they're going to have a lot more money to spend. And I know they have limited draft picks, but I think a trade down and accumulating more picks is probably likely for them. So I think they're a more sexier team next season, but I think assuming this time 1 year from now that they're Super Bowl contenders, I think is probably too far-fetched.
Well, Raymond Schrankler has an idea of one missing piece. He says, if we bring back Dakota Dozier, back we'll go to the Super Bowl. Is he even in the league anymore?
I don't think so.
I think I remember him playing guard and then he got COVID and he got like COVID really bad, like in the hospital and stuff. And then he just went to the Bears and I think he just collected his checks and went off into retirement. This season's going to be interesting. I'm very interested. And I mean, most of the times when you have a team that's not in contention, can be kind of boring. And even when JJ McCarthy went down with that knee injury, you're kind of thinking, okay, what's this season going to be like? But I think the Vikings could be contenders, not Super Bowl contenders, but at least contend for a playoff spot. But they have to become a defensive team again, because that's where I feel like the strength is. Yeah, you have a lot of good weapons on offense. You have Justin Jefferson. You have Jordan Addison, provided he's healthy and not suspended. TJ Hawkinson's going to come back for the first season. But I mean, you can poke holes in all that too. Like I just got done doing it. You're missing Hawkinson for a month. Aaron Jones is 30. You don't know what you're getting out of Ty Chandler. And the inside of that interior line still is one big question mark. I look at this defense and I think that there's enough pieces for them to compete. You have an all-world safety room. You just signed a former All-Pro in Stephon Gilmore, who could fall off the planet at age 34, but hey, at least you're going for it. You have a revamped room of edge rushers with a guy that I really like in Dallas Turner. And then defensive line room, you could get guy. I mean, if some of those young guys step up again, you could be looking at a defense that jumps into the top 10. And if that happens, you're going to be in more games than not. You're going to have a chance to win. And I think that's what the Wolves want deep down. They want this team to play meaningful games towards the end of the season. And I think it's a more than attainable goal for the Vikings this year.
So it's interesting because if they're going to be successful, to your point, the defense has to take not just a step forward, but probably a significant step forward. They need their offense to not be cratered and not be train wrecked by Sam Darnold's decision-making, which probably more means being a safer offense, feeding Justin Jefferson like crazy, establishing a successful run game. So if the Vikings are successful in 2024, it's probably not, to use this term again, it's not in the sexiest way, right? It's not going to be them throwing the football a lot. It's not going to be, unless Sam Darnold has completely changed everyone's minds and opinions with his performance, it's going to be more of a ground and pound. It's going to be more of getting stops on third down. It's going to look a lot more probably like a 2017 Vikings team that had the number one defense, had this crazy success story in Case Keenum, but they had really good weapons all around him and Dalvin Cook. And obviously I know he went down, but they had a good running game in Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon. Like they didn't look like the Rams with Matt Stafford and Sean McVay. They certainly won't look like any of the AFC powerhouses, which are led by so many great quarterbacks in that conference. They're going to have to do it in an unconventional way. And I think they can be competitive and successful? Yes. But if they get off to a slow start and look, they might have one of the toughest first 6 games in football. The Giants game is basically a must win for them, because there is a very realistic path where this team is 1-4 after the first 5 weeks of the season. I know they're not favored in almost all of their first 8 to 9 games. So if they can tread water, so if they can go 3-3 and survive that stretch, that's a massive win. Cause I do think after that, they kind of can control their destiny, have a little bit of house money to play with, and then they can maybe sneak a playoff spot. But that's where I think some people will not be huge believers in them, because it's just unfortunately not the sexiest way. Hey, if it wins football games, I know the 2022 Vikings end up proving a lot of those doubters right, that the negative point differential wasn't legit and they get bounced by a pretty mediocre Giants team in the wild card round. But it's going to be hard for them, I think, to convince a lot of people that they're legit contenders with how they're built. But hey, winning football games is winning football games. So you don't have to apologize for your win-loss record. but they have to probably get off to a really good start because they could be easily significantly under 500 by the time their bye week rolls around. But if they can survive that era, if they can go about 500, be just one game out of 500, then they, I think, have a pretty decent path of being a playoff team this
year. The over-under is 6.5 wins. Are you taking the over or the under?
I'm taking the over. I think 7 is obtainable. I know that number basically dropped after JJ McCarthy went down. I think even I was in Vegas about 6 weeks ago, and I think it was at 7 then.
Yeah.
And I took the over. So that means they had to win 8, which now, like, thinking of it that way, it's like, oh man, like 7, I think, is achievable. 8, like, oh, that, now you're sweating like that, just like classic Vegas fashion. But I think they can win at least 7 games. After that, I think you're probably a little too ahead of yourself with how we're looking at the Vikings. But to our point earlier, so many teams surprise, so many teams fall, and naturally the wins and losses kind of even out to other teams that you weren't expecting upon. I mean, the Buccaneers last year were expected to be one of the worst teams in football, and they were a couple plays away from being in the NFC title game, for God's sake. So yes, it's possible, but I think realistic expectations for them are probably an 8, maybe 9 win football team, at least as of right now.
They're a Jeff Fisher special. They're a 7-9 win team, right? And I mean, that would be good, because I think in the past, like, the Vikings had kept Kirk Cousins, and they were doing what the Falcons are doing right now, where they're all in. They're getting Justin Simmons and Matthew Judon and all these aging players, and we're going to push towards a division title. I think you'd look at 9 wins or even 7 wins and be like, man, that's a disappointing season. But I think, again, this is about establishing a foundation. Look at the teams that have made that leap the last couple of years. You look at a team like the Rams last year. Kevin O'Connell, sensei, Sean McVay gets the Rams to the playoffs, and everybody thought they were going to suck for the next decade after they traded all those picks. The Green Bay Packers, they lose Aaron Rodgers. They get to the playoffs. Now they have to pay Jordan Love $55 million, but nobody saw that coming. The Lions went on that hot streak at the end of 2022. They wind up 7 lead in the NFC Championship game. Don't worry, Lions fans. I'm not going to mention what happened in the second half, but you know, Philadelphia Eagles, you could point out several examples of seasons that were probably mediocre, but set the tone for the future. And I think that's the Vikings' big goal for this season.
Yeah, that's where just surprise teams happen all the time. So, like, you know, the Titans could be one of those teams. They spent a good amount of money. They invested in Will Levis. Are they going to pop up? Is Anthony Richardson, again, similar situation to J.J. McCarthy, where he sees a little bit more of game action and wasn't hurt right away before the season, but now everyone's really high on the Colts. If they can maybe be a sneaky team in a loaded AFC, eventually, yeah, some of those laws of averages kind of even out, where the powerhouses fall down and surprise teams pop up and whatnot. So yeah, it's totally possible that they can, I think, be a playoff team. But for me, I think having next to no expectations for this season, and that's kind of where I'm at with this Vikings team, is I think having not low expectations, but just no expectations. Because with Sam Darnold expected to be the starting quarterback with McCarthy injured for the whole year, I think having too high or too low of expectations are just kind of probably doom you as a fan. And look, you be a fan however anyone wants to be a fan. I'm certainly not going to completely, you know, rain on your parade in that regard. But I think having no expectations, and just as I know reporters hate when they say it, but taking it a game at a time, as cliche as that sounds, like, that's kind of where I'm at with this Vikings team. Because if they do get hot, let's say they, instead of getting off the slow start, they surprise us all, and they do go like 4-1 through their first 5 games, then all of a sudden, okay, let's get excited. Like, they survived a really tough stretch of football on paper, and now can they basically continue it through the course of the regular season? That part's great. But I think having kind of no expectations for this year is actually going to be a good thing, because I think it'll probably help you stay a little bit more sane, even though that's very difficult to do as a Vikings fan.
Well, one of the ways you can follow the Vikings this season is at Score North, with all the programming that you guys got going on. What's happening over there? It seems like you're a busy guy lately, Declan.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Purple Daily, so we kind of relaunched some shows. We orchestrated some of our contributors. So we have Meat and Potatoes with Judd Zulgad and Tyler Fornes, who does a great job covering the Vikings. I'm sure a lot of fans have seen his tweets and seen a lot of his coverages on Twitter. And obviously, he's been joining us on Purple Daily for the better part of a year now. We have Miles Gorham and Jesse Pierce and Ross Brendel, obviously on Before I Die, which is a fun little show too that we've kind of makeshift over the last few years, which is great. And you know, our main episodes of Purple Daily, which obviously include Ventline, on which we are going to be tweaking a little bit. We'll kind of have a little bit more of a formal announcement on that as we get closer, probably to next week. But we'll still have Ventline, obviously, in its full form right after every Vikings game. We have Hottest Takes on Monday, which is still one of our big staples that we love. So yeah, I mean, we're still in all systems go. We're still Daily Vikings Entertainment. We've added a little bit of bonus stuff in that regard too, which is fun. But you know, as you know too, that you get through the draft and then there's a little bit of a lull until OTAs. Then the OTAs are over. And there's a little bit of a lull of training camp. And then if you can kind of get to September 1st, you survive 53-man roster cuts, and now you're about less than 10 days out from the regular season beginning. This is where it gets exciting, and we're super excited. I mean, it's a buzzkill. J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that part stunk, and I definitely was probably a little bit more disappointed than maybe Mackey and Judd were on that, just because of the idea of I wanted to see McCarthy. But at the end of the day, it's still football, man. I mean, regardless if you're a Vikings fan or a Packers or Lions fan or whoever the hell you're a fan of, it's football and it's week one. It's one of the most exciting times of the year, and I'm super pumped for it.
And where can people follow you on social media?
At Dex's Tweets. That's D-E-X-S Tweets. Also cover the Twins for the Score North Twin Show. So the Twins, who I know have been a little disappointing at the time of this recording, but still controlling their destiny to be a playoff team. That's been fun. I've been covering that team for the majority of all season, at most of every home game. And that's been a lot of fun. We launched a brand new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel and kind of revitalized our Twin Show podcast feed about a year ago this time. And then this year, having a little bit more of a hands-on approach, covering the team, which has been a blast too. So hopefully the next about six, seven weeks, even bleeding into October with the Twins likely in the playoffs. Hopefully, I really should say in the playoffs. It should be a very busy time with us at Score, but we're really looking forward to it.
And let's close this thing off proper, because usually I read the end here, but I'll give you one chance here. You got the wrestling shirt on. I've made wrestling references throughout the show. Give me your hottest wrestling take right now.
Hottest wrestling take right now. Okay. I'll go with this one. I think this is a pretty damn hot take, because you and I have talked about this before. I've kind of had one foot out of AEW for the last like year and a half or so, basically since CM Punk left. I think it's been a complete bleep show there. Now there's things that are popping up a little bit more. I love that Britt Baker came back. I thought she delivered one of the more excellent promos I've heard on that company in a long time. But my hot take would be, I think AEW, the missing ingredient is Shane McMahon, who I know was rumored to maybe be showing up here soon. There was kind of a link to him yesterday on Dynamite. And I think Shane McMahon, who is not his father, which I'm very excited to see that Netflix documentary. But I think Shane McMahon might be the missing ingredient to put that, because when AEW launched, and for all the wrestling nuts like you and myself know, when it launched, I mean, it was head to head with WWE just in terms of watchability, maybe not in terms of ratings. And then the WWE has completely blasted off into ratings since the Triple H era took over. But I think Shane McMahon might be the missing piece. Tony Khan has the money. That's what CM Punk says, and he does. He has a boatload of money. Can Shane McMahon kind of bridge the gap where it's not as wide as it is right now? So I think my hottest take would be AEW's missing piece is Shane McMahon, trying to bridge that gap and make them more of a watchable company.
I did watch All In on Sunday. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was pretty good for the most part. There have been times too where I flip on Dynamite and I go, hey, this is pretty good. Like Mariah May threatening to murder Tony Storm with a high heel shoe. Like that was awesome and completely unexpected. But I also agree with you where when they did start it, I mean, one of the shows that both you and I went to was AEW Full Gear in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere, the excitement for that show, it really was something that WWE hadn't felt for a long time. And now, you know, they go from 50,000 people over at Wembley on Sunday to 2,000 people for Dynamite last night. And you're watching it on TV, the energy's not there and everything else. I want to see them get back on their feet, because it's good for wrestling. It's good to have that alternate company. It's good for the wrestlers because they have leverage. And it's, you've seen it with WWE. That competition forced them to kind of change things up. Granted, there were some other instances that forced Triple H into power, but we won't get too far into those. Watch the Vince McMahon documentary if you're curious. But, you know, WWE stepped up their game with the Bloodline, with the Cody Rhodes story, with everything else. And I think that if AEW stepped up to be a entertaining product again, where it can be sometimes, I think that'll make WWE even better because they'll step up their game. And people like you and I, the nerds who walk around and get oil changes with our DX shirts, we'll all be happy. So I like the take. I you're talking me into Shane McMahon being on AEW, and I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what made AEW great to start was its storytelling, and WWE had punted on that, and they would, you know, in classic Vince power trip fashion, would rip things up the night of and make decisions and push people and bury people that shouldn't be in those positions to begin with. And that's what set AEW apart, and they kind of lost their way a little bit. And I'm a big CM Punk fan. I love the guy, but was he part of maybe burning that down a little bit? Definitely was. But if they can kind of take their all world wrestling staff, which they do have legitimate wrestlers there. They're not just performers. Those guys are regarded as in the wrestling community as some of the best people in the world at what they do. But if they can get back in to that storytelling mode that made Full Gear 3 years ago so great. I mean, that's a full circle year and a half moment for Hangman, where that's where it's like, oh, this, you can feel the electricity and feel the emotion there. It just feels like after that, that was kind of their peak, and they've been basically on a downward slide for the better part of the last 2.5 years.
Well, I enjoy the fact that we talked about pro wrestling just as much as we did about Jaren Hall getting cut, but that is all the time we have for today's podcast today, the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We also are in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Declan Goff, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.